Okay, can you hear me okay? I'm just going to move some things around if that's all right. You're nice and comfortable. My water and tissues. Hopefully, you can hear me. God's been very good. I've been very poorly this week, and there's been lots of coughing and sneezing in this house, but hopefully, I think we're good. God, tissue and water, so all good. I'm just going to take a few minutes to introduce these 2 weeks, because there's 2 weeks together. As you notice, it is not just my name up there. It is Louise and Steve Jones. Okay, so this is part one of part two, and Steve will be following next week. Just to give you a bit of background, it all started in a worship practice getting ready for carol service. And we were sort of trying to work out what kind of songs could we bring for the carol service. And I believe you might need to go back to 1960s for this, I think. You can go Google and tell me I'm wrong, because I haven't actually got the decade. It's 62? Oh, 62. See, I got the right decade. Do you hear what I hear? Do you see what I see? Do you know what I know? Does this sound? Do you know what I know? A child. Okay, you do know it. Good. And, you know, we brought this. The words are a little interesting. It's got a really good feel for it about bringing about Jesus and telling this good news. Come, come, come and see this child. You might not know what I know, but come and see. So there's a little bit of a change. I'll just read the beginning of it. Said the angel to the little lamb, do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite. And it goes on, it goes on. So that isn't what you probably know, something about the night wind and things. So we have made it a lot more in line with God's word and what we believe happened, because we want it to be really clear. And we've done a bit of a mashup. You know what a mashup is? You take two songs and you put them together, and it's loads of fun. So it's a mashup with Emmanuel. Emmanuel, his name is called Emmanuel. God with us, revealed in us, his name is called Emmanuel. I kind of looked to Jonathan, maybe by next Sunday for part two, would we be ready to share the song with everybody? Oh, he looks tentative, but maybe, because that would be really good. We're not quite there, so I'm just sharing you some of the words. So we really felt, and we were praying together as a leadership team, and do you know what? We had a real conviction in our spirit about these words. Do you hear what I hear? Do you see what I see? Do you know what I know? And felt that actually this is something that God wanted to use as a tool over this whole Christmas season. So that is why we're starting by using it for Advent talks. And it'll be the theme as we go right the way through to Christmas Day, as God reveals more and more through this theme. So I'm hoping when Steve comes to speak next week, that maybe they'll be able to bring the song. So the emphasis for today is going to be on Mary. And Steve is going to present Joseph. So those are the two sides for part one and part two. Do you like the little picture there? It's good, isn't it? Yeah. So that just kind of gives you a little bit of the story of where we are both coming from and why we are using these words. So I think as well, you know, with the Christmas story, some of you may call it the nativity, the beginning, the birth of Christ here on earth. You either believe it or you don't. It isn't one you can kind of work through and explain away. It's a miracle. It is an absolute miracle, and you either believe it or you don't. And if you don't, my prayer today is that you would maybe see for the first time how God was so instrumental and how he brought this miracle to be. And I want us to have a look at some of the verses that were brought earlier on from Luke 1, verses 26 to 38. And they will come up as I sort of share over the course of this first part, I want to look at what did Mary hear? I'm jumbling mine up a bit, okay? So I'm going to start with, what did Mary hear? For those of you who are listening on the internet, because we've already had this reading this morning, so it's Luke 1, verses 26 to 38. Just going to give you all a moment to find that, and I will be referring through this over the next few minutes or so. This is all about when Mary was visited by the angel Gabriel. What did Mary hear? She heard all sorts of things. Okay. Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you. I want to stop just there. That to me says too much already. I wanted to understand, what does the word favoured mean? Because it isn't mean, oh, Mary, you're my absolute favourite. You're just the person that I want to bring Jesus into the world with. No, it doesn't mean that. Because we could sort of think, what does this mean? So I had a little research, a bit of a dig, and I was really taken with this quote from Pastor Phil Pringle. The moment people come to Jesus, they entered into the favour of God and are considered the highly favoured ones. Now, he's taken this by the Living Translation, and it's Ephesians 1, verses 4 to 6. I think they are on a slide, James, if you want to bring them up. Long ago, even before he made the world, God chose us to be his very own through what Christ would do for us. He decided then to make us holy in his eyes, without a single fault, we who stand before him covered with his love. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And he did this because he wanted to. Now all praise to God for his wonderful kindness to us and his favour that he has poured out upon us, because we belong to his dearly loved son. So if you look at favoured back in the Greek, there are a few interpretations there. One says grace and another acceptance. Being accepted. I give you my grace. You are highly favoured. For those of us who follow Jesus, this isn't just for Mary. This is for you and I. We are accepted by God. And you know what? Over Christmas time, I think it's a really good opportunity for you and for me to take time to reflect. We always say that Christmas is that time where you can reflect on what is going on in our lives. And so I want to bring in now all the things we've been hearing from Gary, from Bill, from John, from Margaret, from Matt Evans. Take all those sermons you've been hearing and we're just going to extend through and make it a lot more personal. Where is it that God is calling you and I? Where should we be serving? What is he asking us to do? And you know what? We have to ask ourselves a question right at the beginning, before we acknowledge or think about all of those questions. We must remind ourselves that we are precious to God, that we are accepted by him. And if we have come to Jesus, you are highly favoured. The Lord is with you, the angel carries on. The angel doesn't just deliver. Right, Mary, this is what we got you to do. Come on. Come on, girl, this is what God wants of you. He doesn't come in with that. He says, the Lord is with you. I bring you this good news, Mary. God accepts you. You're precious. He loves you. He is with you. And I think that's something that we need to grab hold of today. Carries on there. Do not be afraid, Mary. Again, You have found favor with God. You already need to be safe with God. Be secure in God because of how he views you. As Gary's book said, you are significant. You are precious. And you know what? He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because I will give you everything you need to do all I ask. Well, I think that was quite a good introduction. So hearing God, don't be afraid about what he says to you. Don't be afraid. Okay, here we go. This is the role for Mary. These are the words. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Oh my gosh. It's okay. Mary's taken that role. You and I don't need that role. Phew. My goodness. That is quite a beefy number, isn't it? So Mary quickly gets in there with questions. Hang on a minute. Whoa, that's too much. Don't understand how that can happen. I'm a virgin. What do you mean? Don't get it. And, you know, she's pretty straight in there with what? Do you ever ask God questions? Do you ever question what he's saying to you? Thinking, really? I don't see that. Not sure about that. It's okay to ask questions. Mary can ask questions about giving birth to the Son of God. I think we can ask questions. It's okay to come and wrestle with God a bit and try and understand what he is saying. So the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. I think that's an amazing answer. Do you know, God is in this detail here. So Gabriel didn't just sort of answer her question. Okay, Mary, you're confused. You don't understand how it's going to happen. This is what will happen, and this is how it will work. There's this encouragement. There's this reassurance. Elizabeth, her relative, couldn't have children. This was another out-and-out miracle happening. And as we go on to read in the passage later on, we understand that Mary then went and spent time with Elizabeth. Elizabeth, it said, knew exactly who Mary was carrying, the Son of God. She knew her child leapt in her womb. And she recognized, she knew her son was going to make way for the Son of God. So spending that time with somebody who gets what's going on, she had encouragement and reassurance. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not really sure how many people would have believed Mary. Don't know what her family would have thought, her community would have thought. I think they probably thought she was lying if she actually told them what had happened to her. But Elizabeth was the one who was able to bring that encouragement. And straight away, God has shared that news in with the answer. He's in that detail. And I'm sure this was very precious to Mary. And, you know, getting the right people around us when God speaks, when you hear what God has to say, getting the right encouragement around us is really important. So Mary's response, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. In simple terms, she said yes. It's what Mary heard. And we have to just stop and reflect for a minute. What has God been saying to us? What role does he want us to fulfill in his kingdom? What has he been revealing to you about maybe roles and talents, gifts and different times that we have got to offer, about what season maybe we are in? And this isn't just about the church here on a Sunday morning. but it's about the whole of our lives, the communities, the families we live in. And then we have to ask that question, how then, if we've heard how Mary responds, how have we responded and how will we respond? I think having that heartfelt yes is where it starts, but all the way through, know that you are favoured by God and that he is with you. So, what did Mary know? Well, let's look at intellectually, shall we, what we know of that. We did the whole thing this morning with Mary's song. Love that. And love singing My Soul, My Soul. Really good song of an interpretation of it. Mary knew most of these scriptures in that song. You can see from the Old Testament. So it was like, as a child, she must have heard scriptures being repeated from her family. Now we know that she was possibly part, because of Jewish families at the time, probably a big family, and it wouldn't have been just to her personally, but she was listening in on God's word. They would have been recited, probably by her father, and she didn't just nod off in the corner by a fire somewhere, whatever picture you might have in your head of what it might have been like listening in. She took them right in. I don't know if we've got slide 6, James. Is there a problem with the maybe technical side? Is that? Oh, there we go. this just might help you as we go through. But it just shows us here that, you know, Mary's song actually does reveal some of these promises made by God to his people. So you've got there, for the mighty one has done great things for me. And in Psalm 71, it says, your righteousness, God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, who is like you, God? And then his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation in Mary's song. If we look at Psalm 103:17, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him and his righteousness with his children's children. And he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. And in Psalm 98:1, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done a marvelous thing. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. And finally, the last two verses there in Mary's song, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. And then Psalm 98:3, he has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. And you know, Mary may not have had much of a status. She was a very young girl, from what we can tell, and probably not from a wealthy family. This next point is probably another sermon in itself, but I think it's a really interesting point that the Bible does point out that she had another sister called Mary. Now, I don't know about you. I know the Americans take this thing of the parents pass a name onto their child and they're something junior. Which, okay, I get that, sort of, you know, passing it on, maybe the first son or something. But if you can imagine, so take my situation. So I'm the eldest and I'm called Louise. So when my sister comes along, my parents call her Louise. It's kind of like, well, you're like Louise 1 and Louise 2. And that sort of then starts a bit of a ranking thing, don't you think? Well, I was Louise number one, and you're Louise number two, and, you know, and you're not somebody in your own right. And I just think that whole thing is quite interesting, and there is other stuff there. But the point I'm trying to make is I don't think there was much of a significance put on Mary in her life as she was growing up. And, you know, it isn't about sometimes qualifications, gifts and talents that God is looking for, but he is looking for that dedicated life to him and somebody who's willing to follow him. And Mary, we can tell from what she knew, she really took in all of this stuff and wanted to follow God desperately. Yeah, and I just think it's really important for us to understand, where are we starting from? What do we know? Where have we actually, with the information we have and what we know God might call us to, have you got yourself in a position where you are ready to do all that God has purposed you to do? Have you got yourself there? Because it could be that you might need real educational and practical training for what God wants you to do. And so that means you can't just do it. You've got to work on it. You've got to develop your skills. And this can be spiritual as well. If you have this understanding of where God might want you, and you do this, and you live over here and not in the place that you know God wants you, you come out of that calling. It isn't yours anymore. You have to come into that place and commune with God and follow him. And God is gracious and forgiving. So sometimes we do pop over there and he welcomes us back. But it's a choice to put yourself in the right place. Do you even understand maybe what your spiritual gifts are? Do you know how to use them in the everyday world? And it's really important that we grasp, what do we know? Maybe this could be a bit controversial, but do we put our physical bodies and maybe our emotional and mental health in a place that is just not wise? So that we are then not even fit enough to do what God needs us to do. Maybe we don't then have the mental resilience to do what God wants us to do. So all those things are quite important. So just to reflect on and think, what do I need to do in order to do what I know God has called me to? Let's go back to Mary for a minute, because I like these words. So we talked about, what did she know intellectually? But what did she know here? You know, somebody says, do you know it in your knower? You know, the bit, you know, the knower bit inside you, the bit that you go, oh, yes, that bit. I really felt she had a knower place. And something deep resonated inside of her. I want to just talk about when the shepherds came to visit. And came to visit Jesus. And it's in Luke 2, verses 16 to 19. It said, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things, and she pondered them in her heart. When Jesus was a young boy, and he was 12, and the big celebrations of the Passover were happening in Jerusalem, Mary and Joseph actually lost him. And they lost him for about 3 days. And there was obviously quite a bit of a to-do. I'm not saying Mary was in her right mind. I think she was probably full of a lot of anxiety and did a lot of, where have you been, when they found him. But out of those conversations, you have a look at it. It's actually in the same chapter. He grew up very fast in Luke, okay? If you look at about verse 51 and have a look previous to that and see their conversations, it said, you know what? But Mary, she treasured these things in her heart. And the original meaning of these, pondered and treasured, means to weigh. She was weighing it all up right deep inside her. God was going, think on this, treasure this, ponder this. It's like reminders of what her calling and her role was, to really know it in her knower. And you know, we need those things. We don't just need what's up here. We need it in here, because life isn't very easy. And I don't think it was very easy for Mary at all. I can't even imagine what it would have been like to know who your son is, and then he just appears like any other boy. He's like running around, doing the same things. And don't you think she took stock and thought, did I just imagine all that? Is he really the son of God? You know, I'm sure there were moments that she just thought, did I just dream it all? You know, there's just no difference. He's just appearing like any other boy. And I think when, you know, he was a grown man, and we remember that time when they all went to the wedding at Cana in Galilee, remember? And the wine had run out. And she goes to him, because she knows who he is. She knows what he can do. And says, you're going to do something about this wine. He says, what did he say about woman? Why do you involve me? My time has not yet come. And she's like, well, but when then? You know, do you think by then she was getting a bit impatient? If you're supposed to be the Son of God, when are you going to save your people? What is this? You know, how much longer must I wait? I don't understand. Sometimes, you know, there is a timing with some things, and we do need patience. But if we have kept those things, we must remember to lean on God. And he will give us the right time to share maybe and live out the calling that he has given us. Sometimes we do need time and experience of life to cultivate our gifts and to bring them in a particular way. But knowing if we keep Jesus at the centre of all we do, surrounding ourselves with encouraging people who build us up in our faith, knowing that God is with us and that we are favoured. So, what did Mary see? We've looked at, what did she hear? She heard the angel Gabriel. What did she know? She knew the Old Testament, and she knew in her knower about treasuring and pondering. So what did she see? Well, unusually, she was there for both his birth and his death, which I think sometimes we don't often think about. Do we think at this time of year, as we're looking at nativity scenes and we're thinking of the birth of Jesus, do we also think of his death? If we read the passage here from John 19, verse 25, we understand that she was right there. She didn't just hear about his death, she was there. She saw her son die. So in the birth, you know, there was a lot of promise, a lot of excitement when there's a birth. However, the pain that she must have had to carry to fulfill this role must have been immense. Even if Mary had known that it was necessary for Jesus to actually give up his life in this way so that mankind can be restored to God, she was still his mum. And it must have torn at her heart. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to a woman, "Here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. So Mary was a widow at this time. So she had lost Joseph. And even as Jesus was dying on the cross, he was fulfilling his duties as the oldest son to take care of his mother by ensuring that she would be entrusted to John's care. And that's that wonderful picture. She's seeing this before her. Even in this pain, she is seeing what her son is doing. And a wonderful picture as well, that she was part of Jesus' followers. So she would have been witness to his resurrection. Maybe then she would have understood something of the significance of her obedience at that time to the angel saying yes, when she had seen all that God had done through her. Wasn't easy, but she's starting to see the picture. And I think when we look at ourselves, what do we see? What do we actually see physically around us? Where has God actually placed you? Sometimes when we think of our role in the kingdom, like we talked about before, it's maybe about Sunday gatherings, home groups, that kind of thing. And even though it actually is right to share our gifts and experience and callings in church settings, God has so much more for us. Now, hopefully from listening and reading the prophecy this week that Gary brought, we have that better understanding about how we are significant, that word favoured, and we are called to serve with the whole of our lives to God in all the situations that we are placed. Work, home environments, clubs, hobbies, neighbours over the fence, down the road, round the corner, in the tea shop, community groups, whatever it is, wherever you are placed, think about where you are placed. I'm going to share with you some verses from Matthew 9. They're on slide 8, James. Verses 35 to 38. I want to show you something about Jesus as he was out and about doing his ministry. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out the workers into his harvest field." So Jesus, he saw the people and he had compassion on them. What do you see? What are the needs? What are the situations that you come across? Sometimes we might think of these amazing things, and God does cultivate wonderful callings on our lives. But very often, it is in the simplest way that God will use you with the people around you, just to basically serve, be his hands and his feet. You use all of these things, everything that Gary brought last week. What is it for? It is to bring people to Jesus. It is, we've got this hope candle here, it is to bring hope. We just need to be willing. And you know what? Every job is important. You might think what I've got isn't significant, but it is. It is precious, really precious. And when we all come together as Christ's body, we work in an amazing way together. We are the church. So we have to ask this question, I'm afraid, before I finish. What would stop us? What stops us doing this role? You know, we can find it hard to live out a life sometimes that we know God has called us to, particularly if we have hurt or felt knocked down by a role. I can bring a microphone to you in a minute if you like, Gary. Can I just finish this piece and we'll come to you? Yeah? Oh, okay. Is that okay? Maybe we can get a microphone to him in a minute. Is that okay? You know, we can find it hard when we are hurt people. You know, sometimes maybe we've been knocked down by a role that we've had and we've been hurt. And that's real. Hurts are real. And maybe to other people, it can seem that we were just not very interested, actually. Not very interested in helping out. And, you know, but actually the reality is very often we're nursing real hurts that haven't been healed. You know, if we think of the hurt that Mary must have felt from time to time over this role. I mean, she's a mum at the end of the day. Who's heard of Mama Bear? Who's been called that? My daughter always signs off. Okay, Mama Bear. You know, it's a saying, because some of us are a bit protective. And I'm sure she was protective. This is her son. She gave birth to him. You know, and when she'd lost him for 3 days, I mean, you know, that must have been, I have lost the Son of God. No, you know, he was entrusted to me to look after. You know, and I just think with everything she went through, with his arrest and his death, the pain must have been very real. And we can take comfort from that. That Mary leaned in on those promises of what she knew to nurture all these things in our heart. And I have to say, sometimes we're all guilty of this, but complacency will creep in. Sometimes we don't even see it coming. It just creeps up on us, and it's like we've just sat down and squashed our calling. Excuse me. And you know, it does take time and effort to develop some of these gifts. And we could have been, wow, on fire for God and all that he has asked us to do. But then sometimes something else comes along and it just takes a priority. And it isn't right, but it's so easy how that happens. Life can just come in, and before we know it, we've just sat down on our calling so that nobody else can see it and we don't have to share it. We need to remind ourselves we are precious in God's eyes. I have found favour with you. Your role is important and relevant. I am with you. I have one more verses that I want to just share from Matthew 1:22 as I conclude. All of this took place to fulfil what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Mary heard, and she knew that God was with her. Mary knew, and she knew that God was with her. Mary saw, and she saw that God was with her. Emmanuel, God is with us. He has come. He has come, church. And he has so much for us. And all of this is to enable others to know this love of God. Jesus has you and me. That's it. He has you and me. We are the church to bring this good news of Jesus to people. We have this news to share. Maybe it's time over this Christmas period. So do you hear what I hear? Do you see what I see? Do you know what I know? And with what God has given us, maybe not everything is ready to be used yet in you. Maybe it's not the season. Maybe it's not the time. But he will use you in plenty of ways. It's that willingness to serve. Before we finish, I know Gary wants to share something. And then we're going to watch a video, which is O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. And I just really felt that that song reflects. It's an Advent carol. And it's also got a beautiful video of Mary. And she is at that place where the shepherds have come, and she is pondering and weighing all of what God's calling is for her. And I hope it will be a chance to really just reflect on what you've heard this morning and personally what God wants to say to you today. Did we have a microphone there? You want to turn me off? That's fine. I will go off, yeah.
And also as a prophet. And when you have the prophetic pressure coming upon you, you've got to do something. Now, I was sitting the other day pondering what you were talking about. Today, what must I do? How must I do it? And I was sitting there and suddenly overwhelming love came upon me. God just came and made me feel that loving him was the key to the whole of the way of Christian living. And I started to say to God the Father, Father, I love you. I thank you. I want to love you with all you've done for me. And now all I've got to do somewhere along with you. And he just did that. And then the second thing, he came along and it was Jesus. And Jesus says, come to me and love me. Love me with all your heart. Love me and don't be afraid of loving me. And I let that go where his love was coming through. And then the third thing, as I came, the Holy Spirit was there. And he said, Gary, love me. So I was loving the Father, loving the Son, and loving the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be a Christian. It's a Christian thing that is the most wonderful thing. And I suddenly realized I used to do a lot of evangelistic work. And I've seen a lot of people saved in that work. But it all centered around love. The love of Jesus and the way that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit loves me. And the keynote of my evangelism was to go along and preach the real factor that God loves you. And God also came and He really made us aware. And I've seen hundreds of people come to give their lives to Christ because suddenly they realized Jesus loved them because He loved them so deeply and so much. And He does that with you. You're lovely. Let Him love you. Let Him love you. And then when He loves you, when you love Him, you'll want to do things for Him. God bless you. And that's what you've been saying, Gary. Come and tell me. Because Jesus wanted me to say this to you.